Hello, this is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurant Reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. First, before we get started, I'm just going to do a quick review of what the ratings mean. 5 stars, extraordinary. 4 stars, excellent. 3 stars, above average. 2 stars, average. And 1 star, fair. And the first restaurant review we're going to read is for Paradise India Cuisine. And they're located at 10255-400 Chapel Hill Road, and that's in Morrisville. Their phone number is 481-6881, and they received 3 stars. Among the bumper crop of cuisine sown across the landscape by the Triangle's increasingly diverse population, none offers a more colorfully varied harvest than Indian. The flavor palette keeps expanding too and shows no signs of letting up. 15 years ago, if you wanted to go out for Indian, you had a mere handful of restaurants to choose from, none of them venturing far beyond the familiar curries of the North. Now there are more than 24 serving up a rainbow of regional flavors from every corner of the vast subcontinent. Paradise India Cuisine adds another color to the spectrum. A modest but attractively furnished strip mall eatery that opened in April in Morrisville, Paradise specializes in the cuisine of Hyderabad, a southern city known for its distinctive biryani. Known as dum biryani, this dish features a meat or vegetables marinated in yogurt and spices and slow-cooked between layers of basmati rice for hours in a sealed pot until the flavors meld. The menu lists 5 variations on the theme, though not all are available on a given night. According to Siva Apuvu, who owns the restaurant with partner Mangesh Garaj, there isn't yet sufficient demand to support the full range of the offering, each version of which is made with a different blend of spices. Unlike many restaurant dishes, the components of a dum biryani can't be prepared separately and then combined to order. The classic goat biryani is typically available only on weekends, but chicken biryani, which serves up shreds of spice-fragrant meat under a mound of white rice flecked with saffron-stained grains and chopped cilantro, offers ample consultation most nights. Tossed with the chili-spiked peanut sauce and a squeeze of lemon, the flavors of the dish really come to life. Other biryani options include shrimp, vegetarian, and a distinctive variation in which hard-boiled eggs are tucked just before serving into a slow-cooked medley of rice and assorted vegetables. The menu goes beyond biryani to offer a brief tour of other Hyderabadi specialties with occasional forays outside the region. From the northern end of the map, and at the milder end of the flavor spectrum, are the ever-popular tandoori dishes and specialties such as kadai gosht, a stew of bone-in lamb, onions, tomatoes, and green peppers in a fragrant yogurt sauce. Those who venture into the chattanadi dishes of the southern tip of India do so at their own risk. They might find themselves confronted with the likes of shrimp thakku, a gastronomic powder keg of chilies, cardamom, and a couple dozen other spices. If you're not sure of the spice level of a particular dish, ask your waiter. And if he can't tell you, a language barrier can pose a problem in some instances. Persist until you get someone who can. Hyderabadi dishes lie somewhere in the middle of the flavor spectrum, though most exhibit at least some of the fireness for which southern Indian fare is noted. Chickpea batter-fried chilies, listed under the appetizer's heading as cut mirchi, come to mind. The vivid red spice-dyed batter of chicken 65 looks intimidating too, but its bark is worse than its bite. The succulent nuggets of meat underneath that coating will generously reward the adventurous. So will Hyderabadi chicken korma, whose exotically fragrant curry leaf spangled sauce is spicier than that of the familiar northern version, but by no means overwhelmingly so. Fish kazi vada, on the other hand, is surprisingly salty and so intensely spicy, though not in the chili hot sense, that even my asbestos palate could only take it in small doses. Diwani handi, a medley of cauliflower and other vegetables in a subtle sweet sauce, shouldn't prove a challenge to even the most timid palate, though the dish isn't otherwise particularly distinguished. A more rewarding vegetarian entree option is baghar bagnyung, which features baby eggplant cooked in a traditional Hyderabadi coconut curry. The menu is still evolving as popular lunch buffet dishes earn a permanent status on the dinner menu. One such recent addition is lamb goli kebab, gently spiced meatballs that would tempt even the most buffet-averse to the paradise steam tables. Regardless of whether you order from the menu or belly up to the buffet, though, the experience promises to be, well, if not quite paradise, certainly a colorful culinary adventure. Again, Paradise India Cuisine is located at 10255-400 Chapel Hill Road, and that is Morrisville, phone number 481-6881, and again, they received 3 stars. This restaurant received 2.5 stars, and this is the Nantucket Grill, and they're located at 1145 Falls River Avenue, and that's in the Falls River Shopping Center, and that is in Raleigh, phone number 870-1955. If some enterprising soul were ever to compile a list of unlikely restaurant success stories, Nantucket Grill would surely be near the top. New England transplants Jeannie and Jerry Sullivan opened the original restaurant, a little lunch spot called Nantucket Cafe, in 1997. The location, in the back corner of a nondescript strip mall in Chapel Hill, was hardly prime. And the notion of selling New England-style seafood in the heart of Calabash country was, to say at least, bold. It's a safe bet that few locals had even heard of the lobster roll that was one of the restaurant's signature offerings. Everyone was familiar with New England clam chowder, though, and it wasn't long before Jeannie Sullivan's version, which the Boston Globe had named Best in Boston for 3 consecutive years, won a strong following. Word got around about her quiches and home-style mile-high cakes, too, specialties that, along with house-made deli salads and sandwiches with names like the Cranberry Bog, roasted turkey with warm stuffing and cranberry sauce, set Nantucket Cafe apart from the sandwich shop crowd. The lobster roll, featuring 5 ounces of fresh Maine lobster and diced celery tossed in mayonnaise and served on a buttered and toasted oversized hot dog bun, won favor from displaced New Englanders and Southerners alike. The formula proved so successful that the Sullivans have since opened 3 more locations across the Triangle, each with a more ambitious menu and more upscale setting than the last. The newest of these, which opened in February in Falls River Shopping Center, offers full table service in a spacious dining room framed in cherry paneling. The attitude is decidedly family-friendly, though, backed up by a kids' menu and reasonable prices, including a commendable selection of half-portion entree offerings for $10. Sandwiches on the dinner menu and a colorful display of cakes and cheesecakes in the entryway serve notice that, for all its changes, Nantucket Grill has, by and large, remained true to its roots. If your willpower is strong enough to resist the siren call of coconut cake and Heath Bar cheesecake until after the meal, it will surely succumb to the temptation of the complimentary dinner rolls that your waiter brings to your table. That is, if he remembers to bring them. Service is friendly, but given to lapses. On one occasion, our rolls didn't arrive until midway through entrees. On another, we had to ask for them. Remind your server if you have to. Warm, yeasty, and slightly sweet under a glistening brown surface, these little pillows of bread are downright addictive. One waiter described them as like Krispy Kremes but not as sweet, and sure enough, turns out that they're deep-fried like donuts. They go great with the restaurant's justifiably famous clam chowder or rich, velvety lobster bisque, assuming you haven't devoured them before your soup arrives. If you're looking for a more substantial starter, the crab dip ought to do nicely. It's generously loaded with crab meat and served in an ample portion for 2 with warm pita wedges. I'd pass on the chewy calamari, but the traditional New England-style crab cake should satisfy, especially if you haven't been spoiled by the all-jumbo lump versions that are fashionable nowadays. The entree selections covers a lot of ground, from teriyaki chicken to Cajun grilled pork chops to the herb-roasted prime rib that's offered on weekends. Not surprisingly, though, given Nantucket Grill's reputation, most people set sail for the open sea. That's a good direction to take, as long as you know how to navigate the waters. Too often, just beneath the surface lie the treacherous shoals of overwrought presentations. Blackened mahi-mahi, drizzled with lemon butter and served over cheese risotto interlaced with sautéed spinach, sails perilously close but avoids mishap. But a baked trout special is sunk by a culinary perfect storm of lemon butter sauce, polenta cake, sautéed spinach, tomato, whole garlic cloves, sweet walnuts, and more lemon butter sauce. Grilled Atlantic salmon could do without, what am I saying, it would be much better without the cloying, gelatinous, spicy honey tomato vinaigrette sloshing over its deck. Thankfully, the kitchen is accommodating and is happy to simply grill most fresh fish selections. Take the helm firmly in hand and order accordingly. Or you could go the fried seafood route. Shrimp, scallops, and lightly breaded nuggets of cod all offer smooth sailing. As do the whole belly clams. Not ordinary clam strips, mind you, but the whole Ipswich clams, succulent bivalves with a flavor as rich as oysters. Now that's a taste of New England. Again, Nantucket Grill received 2.5 stars, and the Nantucket Grill that was for this review was the one located at 1145 Falls River Avenue in the Falls River Shopping Center, and that is in Raleigh, phone number 870-1955. The next restaurant review we're going to read is in Cary, and it's for Bella Mia, and they're located at 2025 Renaissance Park Place, and that's at the Arboretum at Weston, again in Cary. Phone number 677-3999, and they received 4 stars. I tried to resist, really I did, but the temptation was just too great. I broke my long-standing rule about allowing a new restaurant a month to iron out the wrinkles before paying it a first review visit. It was a rare moment of weakness. I pride myself on my willpower, which has previously withstood the siren calls of foie gras and butter poached lobster with a palm. But coal-fired pizza, now that's another matter. I've had pizzas cooked in a coal-burning oven only a handful of times in my life, and each one has ranked among the very best pies I've ever had. Unfortunately, to my knowledge, the nearest place to get a fix was 500 miles away at one of the legendary pizzerias of New York and Connecticut. Until June, that is, when Bella Mia in Cary became the first restaurant in North Carolina with a coal-fired oven. 2 coal-fired ovens, actually. 1 burning at a red-hot 900 degrees, dedicated to pizzas, and the other designated for roasting house-made meatballs, vegetables, and such at a more moderate temperature. The ovens represent the realization of a long-held dream for Long Island native Rick Guerra, but they're just the starting point of a dream come true for pizza aficionados in the Triangle. Before opening the restaurant, Guerra and his sons, Louis and Anthony, spent more than a year making educational pilgrimages to the country's preeminent pizzerias. The brothers honed their skills under the tutelage of internationally renowned pizzaiolo Roberto Caporoscio. Then they stocked Bella Mia's kitchen with San Marzano tomatoes, flour imported from Italy, fresh buffalo mozzarella, local produce, and naturally raised meats. With all these facts whispering alluringly in my head, my willpower crumbled after only 5 days. On the drive to the restaurant, I reassured myself that if the restaurant wasn't yet ready for prime time, I'd give it a mulligan in the interest of fairness. I needn't have worried. The margarita pizza I ordered was easily the best I've had in these parts. A sublime patchwork of house-made sauce, creamy mozzarella, and fresh basil on a thin, blistery crust. The Guerra brothers had even taken care to tuck basil leaves under the mozzarella to prevent their burning, while allowing their flavor to infuse the pie. If the crust was just a shade underdone, it still came admirably close to the standard set by pizzaiola, who have spent decades mastering the art. Evidently, the young brothers were quick studies. On subsequent visits, the margarita pies, including one with real pepperonis that put the insipid pretenders served elsewhere to shame, have been flawless. So were the house specialty pies I've sampled so far from a list of nearly a dozen, all named for famous New York addresses. The Houston Street, for instance, which punctuates the brooding bass of smoked mozzarella with bright cherry tomatoes. And the Broadway, which gets a post-baking shower of arugula, prosciutto di Parma, and shaved grand pecorino. And the lardo pie that's occasionally offered as a special, whose star ingredient is cured fat back sliced so thin that its musky, porky essence melts into the crust, and then into your soul. The classic 12-inch size is the purist's ideal, allowing for a consistently crisp crust that's nearly impossible to achieve with larger pies. It also leaves room for exploration of the savory fare issuing from the other coal-fired oven. Anthony Guerra's grass-fed beef meatballs are a winner in their own right, but it's their oven-crisp bottoms that make them stand out. Garlic and rosemary marinated chicken wings are a succulent detour away from the well-trodden road to Buffalo. And while Bella Mia's salad selection offers ample opportunities to satisfy the grazing urge, the salad of cole oven-roasted vegetables is not to be missed. House-made desserts. Options range from tiramisu served in espresso cups to a rustic walnut crumble-topped apple pie won't let you down either, nor will the modest but thoughtfully chosen selection of wines and draft beers. But it's the pizzas that are unquestionably Bella Mia's claim to fame. My only regret is that, when the Guerreras shucked a bunch of fresh clams for a clam pie special recently, I found out about it too late to try it. If I ever read on the restaurant's Twitter feed that they're doing an encore performance, I doubt I'll be able to hold out for 5 hours. Again, Bella Mia received 4 stars, located at 2025 Renaissance Park Place at the Arboretum at Weston in Cary, and their phone number is 677-3999. Frasier's returns in new form. When Frasier's Bistro closed on Valentine's Day, Raleigh lost a culinary landmark. The restaurant had been open only 12 years, but in that time established itself as one of the area's premier dining destinations and planted the seeds for a Hillsborough Street renaissance that is bearing fruit today. And now Frasier's is back. The new name, Frasier's Wine Bar, and that is located at 2418 Hillsborough Street in Raleigh, and their phone number is 828-6699. It signifies a more casual approach to the menu and an impressive selection of wines by the bottle and by the 2, 4, and 6 ounce pour. Returning fans will recognize a few of their favorite dishes among the mostly small plate offerings that cover the Mediterranean spectrum, from chickpea fritters to white anchovy bruschetta to gnocchi with duck confit. In keeping with the new format, presentations are simpler than at the previous incarnation, and prices correspondingly lower, with most offerings under $10 and nothing over $15. Given the economic climate, that's a welcome change that should bode well for Frasier's encore performance, which plays nightly from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. A few miles away in downtown Durham, but an ocean away in culinary terms, Damian Moore has opened Dame's Chicken and Waffles, and that's located at 317 West Main Street in Durham in the former Blue Mountain Catering and Cafe spot at Five Points, and their phone number is 682-9235. In addition to the classic soul food pairing that has had its roots in the Harlem Renaissance of the 1920s and 30s, Moore, who still operates the catering business out of a separate facility, offers several contemporary and variations on the theme. There's the orange speckled chabo, for instance, which serves up a fried chicken cutlet atop a scratch-made sweet potato waffle with a smear of orange honeycomb and a drizzle of honey Dijon sauce. And the Carolina cockerel, which the menu proclaims is Dame's personal favorite, blueberry waffle, peach apricot cream, and a trio of whole chicken wings with hot sauce on the side. You can sample these and other sweet savory combinations for weekday lunch and dinner, and for dinner Wednesday through Saturday. Back in Raleigh, you'll have to venture off the beaten path to find Southern Flavor, and that's located at 1100-116 North on Raleigh Boulevard, phone number 809-8812. And that's in a nondescript Food Lion-anchored strip mall. It's worth the effort, though, judging by early reviews of the food at this modest counter service eatery. Foodies are raving about owner Renard McFadden's homestyle Southern cooking, and some are already proclaiming his fried chicken is the best in town. Southern Flavor is open for lunch and for dinner every day but Sunday, and it's worth checking out the daily special menus online before scheduling a visit. One of Monday's temptations is the Charleston Supper, featuring smoked neck bones and white lima beans over rice. Other specials include braised oxtails on Tuesdays, geechee pork pot, I'll let you check out the menu for that one on Wednesdays, and fried croaker on Fridays. Whenever you go, you'll want to leave room for June McFadden's banana pudding or homemade strawberry cake. Restaurants join to conquer. Two restaurants under one roof. The concept is hardly new, but it hasn't been all that common, until recently, that is. In just the past few weeks, four new joined-at-the-hip restaurants have come into the scene. For Rich Camos and Ahmed Ramadan, one address plus two restaurant concepts equals Eat and Manja Bistro, and the location is 2519 Fairview Road, phone number 782-4908 for both restaurants, which the partners opened simultaneously August 2nd. Kamos and Ramadan overhauled the space formerly inhabited by the single restaurant Evo, E-V-O-O, transforming it into two separate dining rooms while preserving details such as the brick floor and molded tin ceiling. In the room on the left, blackboard menus and an open kitchen with a wood-burning oven set into an Italian glass tile wall set the mood for Mangia Bistro's casual contemporary Italian offering. Homemade pastas are a specialty, with options ranging from veal ravioli to potato gnocchi with a creamy pesto to squid ink dyed linguine with shrimp and calamari. Other temptations include red snapper and parchment, pork chop Milanese, pistachio-crusted rack of lamb, and wood-fired pizzas. In the room on the right, Eats Vintage Mahogany Bar dispenses beer, wine, and mixed drinks for both restaurants, as well as the old-fashioned shakes and floats that go with its American diner-inspired menu. Burgers are well represented, with options ranging from the Velveeta stuffed 10-napkin burger to the Om Ed Special, a Middle Eastern kofta blend of ground lamb and Angus beef. An entire menu category is devoted to variations on the grilled cheese theme, all served with a cup of tomato soup. The sandwich offering shows an adventurous side, too, in the form of sandwiches such as the lime-marinated grilled mahi and the Argentinian-inspired lomito, beef filet and chimichurri on a toasted baguette. In Wake Forest, prolific restaurateur Georgios Bakatis has teamed up with Kevin Summers, erstwhile partner in the Rocky Top Hospitality Group, to open Girasol Trattoria and Gatehouse Tavern in adjacent spaces in the Gateway Commons Shopping Center. And that's located at 962 Gateway Commons Circle, and their phone number is 569-6714. A wood-burning oven turns out pizzas and entrees such as Italian sausage, chicken under brick, seasonal fish, and bistecca florentina, a hefty porterhouse for two. Lasagna and baked ziti are cooked in the wood oven, too, and join a varied list of pastas, linguine with clams, spaghetti carbonara, and butternut squash tortellini, to name three, and variations on the Marcella Piccata Parmesan theme. On Sundays, from 2 to 9 p.m., a family-style dinner offers a choice of two entrees, two sides, and a salad for $13.99 per person and $5.99 for children under 12. Next door at Gateway Tavern, and that street address is 958 Gateway Commons Circle, phone number 569-6745, features a gastropub menu in an upscale pub setting where flat-screen TVs are discreetly tucked into the corners of rooms whose walls are hung with paintings of European castles and historic figures on rearing steeds. The attitude is family-friendly, though, and the menu follows suit with an offering that includes crispy calamari with smoked paprika aioli, fish and chips, honey-glazed salmon, and country-fried steak with mashed potatoes and gravy. The burger menu is extensive, as is the selection of draft and bottled beers. Menus feature pork belly. You say you count yourself among the growing number of pork belly fans? Then you'll be in hog heaven at two promising new restaurants that feature this trendiest of cuts on their menu. At Capital Club 16 in downtown Raleigh, and that's located at 16 West Martin Street, phone number 747-9345, pork belly is smoked, seared to order on a black cast iron skillet, and served up alongside mixed grilled sausages, a smoked pork chop, sauerkraut, oven-roasted potatoes, sautéed apples, and house mustards. Called the butcher's plate, the dish is one of several that reflect the influence of German cuisine on owner-chef Jake Wolf. But Wolf is hardly a one-trick pony. For every bratwurst, schnitzel sandwich, and potato pancake on his menu, there's a chicken valdostano, shrimp skewer with cheese grits cake, or a fish of the day with lemon brown butter sauce. The beverage selection is similarly eclectic, with options from the handcrafted mahogany bar, reclaimed from the venerable Luchow's German restaurant in New York, ranging from Sidecar to Grenache Veltliner to Aviator American Wheat, one of four draft beer selections. "I wanted to create a place that looks like it had been here since the 1930s, said Wolf, referring to the bar, salvaged heart pine floors, and period details he and his wife Shannon preserved in the Art Deco building. It's a suitable setting for the food, which is at once refreshingly different and as comforting as an old friend. In Chapel Hill, you'll find slow-braised Berkshire pork belly with bitter greens on the menu at Kitchen, and that's located at 764 Martin Luther King Boulevard, phone number 537-8167. The dish is part of an offering that chef proprietor Dick Barros describes as a cross between bistro and gastropub, backing up his claim with temptations such as house-made merguez sausage, chicken tagine, duck leg confit, seared salmon with green lentils and bacon, and four variations on the Moles Frites theme. There's an international selection of bottled and draft beers, including two local brews, as well as a small but thoughtfully chosen European leading wine list. True to the old world tradition, the house red and white are available by the bottle, glass, or 8-ounce Cortino. Barros and his wife, Sue, hers is the welcoming smile that greets him in the dining room, come to the area from Pennsylvania, where they operated two restaurants over the course of two decades. And we have time to read one more. This is Crook's Corner fans get a new daytime spot. In the rapidly growing Triangle, news of a restaurant opening a second location is a fairly common occurrence. But in the case of Crook's Corner, a local landmark that has played a major role on putting the Triangle on the national culinary map, it's especially newsworthy. And the significance of the news is not diminished by the fact that Crook's Atrium Cafe, and that's located 100 Europa Drive in Chapel Hill, phone number 933-2473, offers a streamlined menu and is open only for weekday breakfast and lunch. In fact, according to Chef Paul Covington, the new restaurant was open in response to customers who have long clamored for daytime hours beyond the popular Sunday brunch offered at the original Crook's. The Atrium Center, a six-story office building that offers seating in the ground floor dining room, as well as the building's glass-enclosed atrium on a secluded patio overlooking a pond, proved an irresistible setting. Covington, who has worked for 11 years alongside executive chef Bill Smith in Crook's Kitchen and who revived Crook's brunch service several years ago, has built the new menu on a foundation of longtime favorites such as shrimp and grits, hopping john, and fried green tomatoes. The breakfast offering is rounded out by the likes of buttermilk pancakes with real maple syrup, naturally, omelets and other egg variations, and biscuit sandwiches. Homemade soup, salads, and create-your-own sandwiches, options ranging from tarragon chicken salad to house-roasted beef, available on a variety of breads, highlight the lunch menu. The new restaurant is also offering dinners to go, including super salad, entree, and dessert for $20. When Covington is not busy working at one of the two restaurants, he's catering out of Crook's new state-of-the-art trailer. He described it as a 20-foot kitchen on wheels, tricked out with 12-burner stove, grill, fryer, refrigerator, and freezer. "We can cook everything in that trailer, fried oysters, shrimp and grits, you name it," Covington said. "We just catered a wedding with 300 people." As I said, when a restaurant of the caliber of Crook's Corner ventures into new territory, it's big news. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. Be sure to listen again, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.